Hollow Sky Podcast. We are your hosts. I'm Steven.
And Kyle.
And it's Monday, Hollow Cult. Another wonderful start to the work week. Thank you all for being here and deciding to spend that with us. We appreciate you all very much. Hope it's a good week for everybody. Hope everybody had a good weekend. Everybody staying safe. Yeah, 4th of July is coming up. So somewhere in the country, this is the last Monday that somebody is going to have all 10 of their fingers.
That's true.
So let's be careful. Definitely
an unfortunate truth.
Let's be careful. Today I have a UFO abduction encounter that I stumbled across and decided to look into. It's pretty interesting. And I've been on kind of a UFO kick here after Kyle's last put together. Kind of got my wheels turning. So we are going to jump into that after we get through all the business. So check us out at all our social medias, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, TikTok, Discord, Reddit. Search up the Hollow Sky Podcast. You'll find us there. Come become part of the community. Join the cult. You know the drill. If you have a listener experience you would like for us to share on our Thursday show, Kyle's got some information for you.
I do, and it's really easy. All you got to do is write your story out. Shoot it over to the email, which is going to be hollowskypodcast@gmail.com, and then we'll get it. Or you can be like our new friend that sent us an audio clip of their experience the other day. Just recently got that Bigfoot one. You could do that too. Anything, as long as it's going to fit in the email, you're good. We just get us your story, whatever way you can. Email is just typically the best way to do that.
It's easy for us.
Yeah. And all the information is in the show notes. For other ways of contacting us, I mean, social medias, yada, yada, yada. A lot of stuff's there. You guys know the drill.
Yeah. Yeah. If you listened to us before, you know the drill.
Yeah.
If you like to support the show, plenty of ways to do it. You can check us out at Patreon, search of Hollow Sky Podcast. We got early access shows, ad-free shows, which I know is a big talking point but for all of you and right now. We've got extra shows. Coupons to the merch store. Merch store, you say? HollowSkyPodcast.com/store is our merch store. We got goodies over there. Check it out. Rep the Hollow Cult. Get some Hollow swag. Best thing you can do, share the show word of mouth. Share it on socials. Share it on an interplanetary level. While you're meditating, think about the Hollow Sky Podcast.
That'd be cool.
Graffiti it on something. Smoke signals. Put a message in a bottle. Throw it out into the ocean. See where that takes us.
Also cool.
You can also go to wherever you listen to podcasts at, your podcatcher, if you will, and leave us a 5-star rating and review, and we will gladly shout you out when and if I find them. So today's, this week's, not only today's, but this entire week's 5-star rating and review comes to us from our friend, Squattin' Dog 907.
There you go.
Squattin' Dog says, well played, 5 stars. I wanted to dole out each star one at a time, but not to screw you over with the algorithm, so I'll do it this way. You get a 1 star for the Bledsoe episode, 1 star for the Egress insanity, 1 star for the recent craziness about the abducted scientists, 2 stars for the back and forth banter that makes this show so enjoyable. The truth of the matter is there are not enough stars for this show, let alone for all the banger episodes individually. I love it and look forward to whatever the next week brings. Squattin' Dog, thank you, first off. Yeah, for
that's appreciated. I thought it was name. At first, I kind of thought it was a talking shit thing when you're like, a 1 star for this up. I'm like, what? How ready to compute? Like, my brain just shut off.
Accumulative stars.
Yeah. I get it now.
Yeah, we appreciate it. We're glad you're enjoying the content. It's always good to hear good things you guys are enjoying to counteract all the people out there that tell us about things they don't enjoy. So there is that.
Yeah.
It is what it is. That being said, we are going to jump in to this abduction encounter that I was looking into. It kind of stands out different from a lot of other abduction cases because it's a group abduction, which you don't hear a whole lot about. Like, you've got your Betty and Barney Hill case, but most of the other ones are like a singular kind of thing going on. Initially, the case kind of starts in the mid-90s, right? So I'm going to call this the Harmony Grove abduction. So in the mid-90s, this man by the name of Stephen Boucher is in a bookstore. He went in for a very specific book. I can't remember what it is right off the rip. But as he's looking, he sees the book Missing Time by Bud Hopkins. So that kind of sparked his interest a little bit. He picks it up and kind of puts it back down and goes off looking for the book he was in there to find. Well, he finds that. And then something just pulls him back to this Bud Hopkins book. So he ends up buying it. Doesn't think anything.
What a shitty precursor.
Yeah.
Like, that's the worst right there, man.
Yeah, when you see that and you're like,
Not to mention he's unlogically drawn back to it, which is just weird in itself.
Yeah, because he said he had no interest in that book before he just happened to stumble upon it.
Did he go there for a UFO style book or just like a book?
No, he named it and I looked it up and it just looked like a fiction novel. Oh,
right on. Yeah. Nothing wrong with that. Yeah. Just kind of weird that he would go. It was almost like the world is like, hey, get ready, bud.
The world something not of this world.
Right. Yeah. I should say the universe. Was like, hey, you might want to learn a little bit about this, because this is going to get weird, bud.
Yeah, and it does. So he takes the book home, puts it on a shelf, says it sits there a couple months. And then when he finally comes around to reading in on it, he said he gets weird feelings. Like there is something that happened that he is missing, like sections of time or some sort of event that he cannot recall.
That's even weirder.
Yeah. He ends up meeting up with Bud Hopkins and they take him to a hypnotist, a regressionist, to see what he was missing out on. Now, I need to put this out first because the encounter I'm talking about today is just a small snippet of everything that Stephen has went through. There are multiple abductions. He even links it to some sort of soul contract he has with one of these beings he calls the leader, which as he goes through these regressions, the same being shows up in multiple abductions. He encompasses this all in a book that you all can get. It's on Amazon. I think it's free on Kindle if you've got a Kindle Amazon subscription. But the book is called Beyond the Extraterrestrial Firewall, An Experiencer's Point of View. So if you want his whole story top to bottom, definitely pick up his book. Again, Beyond the Extraterrestrial
Firewall. I'm definitely curious about a soul contract.
Yeah. Yeah.
That sounds really bizarre. Not to mention confusingly so with other entities out there.
Yeah. And Stephen went on to do tons and tons of interviews after he went into this therapist and this regressionist. So he's got a bunch of YouTube and podcasts that he's went on and talked about his experiences with. So I think it might be cool to get him on and talk about. He reminds me a lot of Mr. Bledsoe.
I'm down.
Enough.
Now, it's also extremely bizarre. Well, actually more bizarre than him randomly picking that book than the universe saying, because it's almost like his consciousness is like, hey, you got some figuring out to do, man.
Yeah.
And we're going to get down to the bottom of it.
Yeah. And again, I'm just going over this one abduction from when he was in his late teens, early 20s, but he's got some from when he was younger that are even more crazy. Like at one point he had an experience with his dad where basically the extraterrestrials kind of babysat him for a little bit. Why some other stuff was going on. It's just going to have to get into the book. All right.
But see that right there, you make him out to be not so bad.
Well, that's kind of the route he goes with this.
Oh, really?
Yeah. there's a lot of light and love in this one, believe it or not.
I mean,
but there's also a lot of things that go on that even his regression doesn't bring out, because apparently it was not rather enjoyable.
So his regression couldn't even draw it out? Like, it was that repressed, or it was, he just didn't want to talk about it?
I don't know. I don't know. It was very vague. Very vague in the interviews. It actually, in one of the interviews, that he gets to a point to where he just says he doesn't remember anything after that, post regression. But you also hear other accounts where he talks a little bit about what happened. So I don't know if it's if it's a comfort thing, if it's a block out defense mechanism or what, but it's weird.
I'd say it's probably a defense mechanism for his own sanity.
Yeah. So a lot of this encounter comes from the audio recordings from his regression, and also a couple of interviews that I watched. So after he reads the book and he's like, okay, he's like, this is resonating with me. He gets in contact with Bud Hopkins. They go to New York, where he undergoes hypnosis with a Dr. Aphrodite Clamar and a bunch of psychological tests to like make sure he's of sound mind. Right. And all he had three hypnosis sessions. Yeah. It's kind of just trying to eliminate things before they jump to this conclusion.
Also worth pointing out that the Vatican does the same with exorcisms.
It's weird.
Yeah, it's weird.
Weird. Okay. Again, it's weird that you have like a multiple person abduction, right? Because it doesn't happen very often. So Steve and three of his buddies were in a band called Harmony Grove. They were just a rock band, you know, just making music. They were playing a show at a place along Lake Ontario. So they just finished up and they are packing up all of their equipment when they see this guy, right? The different accounts that I read, some of them said they didn't notice him at the party. But in an interview, Steve said that he did notice him and the guy was drinking pretty heavily. But the guy came up and said, I need a ride. I'm going to St. Catharines. Can I ride with you guys if you're headed that way? Right. So Steve and the band, they kind of put their heads together and they talk it out. And they're like, you know, he seems pretty harmless. He's like, sure. If you help us finish packing our gear, you can ride with us. So they agreed, pack up their gear. They all pile into their van. So you've got their guitar player driving, their drummer in the passenger seat. Then you got Steve in the back, their bass player in the back, the bass player's girlfriend, and the hitchhiker.
I'm getting some serious Dwayne Barry vibes right now.
So this is the...
Remember Dwayne Barry?
No.
X-Files episode with Scully. Where he's the crazy guy who keeps getting abducted. Nobody believes him. And then he kidnaps Scully and then gives her to the aliens instead.
Oh, well, yeah, I mean, it kind of goes. I'm getting
some Dwayne Barry vibes.
Yeah. Yeah. So they agree to it. They all board in and they head off towards St. Catharines. Right. Well, for some, the main highway, which is the Queen Elizabeth Highway, is shut down. So they take a service road kind of north along Lake Ontario. It's close to the Charles Daly Park. If anybody lives up that area, you can kind of map quest and see where they are. So as they're cruising, the driver sees these weird lights up ahead. And he's like, hey, everybody, you need to kind of take a look at this. What do we got going on here? So they immediately thought that there had been an accident. So like, all right, let's just kind of drive up and see what happens. When they stop, all the people in the back of the van kind of get up and look. And they're like, what is going on? So the driver's like, you guys are seeing this, right? You're not, everybody put eyes on this because I don't feel like you're going to believe me. So as they look, they see a saucer hovering in the parking lot of this restaurant, right? It's about 4 a.m, so it's late. There's nobody there.
Okay.
And it's
for some reason I was picturing like, a Waffle House with a fucking UFO just parked there, like, yeah. Hey,
just stopping for some smothered and covered.
Yeah.
Steve remembers that the saucer had small red lights around the perimeter, had portholes in the side, and had like kind of static blue lights underneath it. It was so weird, like it caught them so off guard that they even sat there and talked about maybe it being a movie prop. Like maybe they're filming something out here on the lake. Maybe it's a prop. And then they're like, well, there's no one else around. And why the hell would they be filming this at like 4 a.m?
It is a good thought process, though. I'll give them that.
Yeah, they were very hopeful that it wasn't going to be what it's going to be.
Yeah.
So at this point, they're like, all right, this is kind of fucked. Like, let's turn around and go back and see if we can get onto the highway and we'll take a different route home. So the driver starts to flip a bitch in this van, right? Which nobody else kind of knows because the van is still moving toward the craft. So it's to the point to where the people in the back, it's moving so fast. They're like, what are you doing? We need to turn around. And old boy's like, I'm trying to turn around. So he's got the wheels cranked the opposite direction and it's still pulling it.
Yeah, they got like a Star Wars tractor beam type shit going on. Like, oh no.
Yeah, yeah.
It's too late for that, bud.
So the drummer's like, bro, like they were so worried that they were like bracing for impact at this thing. He's like, the van's not doing anything. So the drummer's like, you know, stomp on the brakes. And the driver's like, already there. He's like, it's not happening. And Steve recalls that he fully believes that the van was completely off of the highway. He said there was no friction or wheels on the road. Like when your car's on the road, you know, it's on the road, right?
Yeah.
He said it felt like there was no contact between the road and the wheels.
And there probably wasn't if there was no skid marks or anything like that.
Yeah. Yeah. So they're cruising into this thing at a good pace when all of a sudden it just stops about 30 feet from this craft. So they're starting to freak out. The drummer sits there and he's like, everybody just lay low, chill out. Just be as quiet as we can. Maybe whatever's going on won't notice that we're in there. Right?
Said no one ever.
He's hopeful.
Well.
So everybody shuts up and ducks down. And Steve says, then in my regression, he's like, I remember hearing the drummer go, oh no, they're coming.
You know what that was? I just figured it out. By him saying that, that is literally the equivalent of going, I'll put the covers over my head.
Yep.
It's the same. That's the
first thing I thought of.
Motherfucking thing.
First thing I thought of. So we're at, oh no, they're coming.
That sucks.
Yeah. And apparently a door had dropped and the drummer, so everybody's still ducked down in the back and they're curious. They're like, what do you mean they're coming? What's coming? And the drummer's like, well, there's four. He's like, little creatures, for lack of a better term. He's like, I don't know how else to explain it. He quotes with, they're small and they're just little guys. Don't anybody move. Just stay where you are. So as these
hands.
Yeah. As these things are moving toward the front of the van, they start grabbing the driver's side doors, trying to get in, but the doors are locked.
Oh no, no, no.
So they're like, bet we're good.
We're good.
We're good. And Steve recalls the driver being so scared that he was just white knuckling the steering wheel, fully eyes face forward. Like he did not want to make eye contact with whatever these things were.
I wouldn't either. I'd be fucking petrified.
Like, please don't let them know I'm here. Please don't let them know I'm here.
Well, I mean, if you're sitting in the front seat with your hands on the steering wheel, they probably know you're there.
Yeah.
Just throwing that out there, big dog.
When you tried to flip a bitch in your van and you can't, and they just pulled you directly to it.
Yeah. Like just because, I mean, I can understand and respect the thought process of going, if I don't look at them, they don't see me. But that's not exactly how that works. They're not T-Rexes.
Let's hope not. It was, that would have to be the worst feeling, especially once they get to the door and you hear them rattling the doors trying to get in.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm going to be scared. And I would hope and pray that everybody with me is in the same mindset of, we're going to sit here and we're going to hide. But if for whatever reason they get these doors open, we start swinging for the fences.
you and Steve would get along well.
It's full on just rumble, just kick ass, dude, because what else are you going to do? Like, I'm not trying to hang out with people that are just going to sit there and cry.
Yeah, yeah. So once they figure out that they can't get the driver's side door open, they start to move to the back of the van. And Steve says, I clearly remember in my hypnosis hearing their feet scuttering along the pavement.
You hear that description a lot?
Moving to the back. And he said,
little scuttering feet.
We had windows in the side of the van, and I just caught sight of this bald, like off gray head move past the window. And he's like, I turned to the gal that was sitting in the back. Well, I turned to the rest of everybody that was there, and I said, did you see that? And everyone was like, shh, just shush up. And old boy's girlfriend was like, I did see it. So they're confirming that what's happening is happening. At this point, they make it to the back of the panel van. It's got those two doors that flip open. Mm-hmm. Well, it's locked. So they're outside kind of fiddling, fighting with this door. He said it took place for about 30 seconds. He said, the only thing I can remember is the hitchhiker started acting super weird. He said he just started looking around the van. He's like, he took the time to look at all of us individually.
It's fucking Dwayne Barry.
He said, then this son of a bitch reaches over, unlocks the door, and flips it open.
I wouldn't even cared about the aliens at that point. I would have beat that dude's ass.
Unlocks it and opens the fucking door.
I just would have started punching him right in his head.
He said, at this point, that's when we saw three of the beings standing there, and one of them immediately jumped into the back of the van. So he said, I remember the
fucking SWAT aliens.
I don't know.
They just go in full clip.
Like, at that point, if that's some dude I don't know is already there, you're already sus.
Yeah.
You just let in the enemy.
Yeah. You're getting fucked up.
That's what I'm saying.
Right? Bro. And B, like, that visual, like that whole situation of him reaching, and it would have to be like, you would be in a state of shock because you don't even react. He just does it, and you're like, oh my God. And the doors are open. You just see these three little fucking assholes standing there that your brain doesn't even process. It is not reality right now. What you're witnessing is not reality. And yet it is reality. But imagine how far removed your psyche would be in that moment. That is not even supposed to be in the realm of possibilities ever.
And the thing that stands out when I was listening to him talk about it was that this dude was acting so weird that it stood out more than the fact that there are aliens outside of the damn van.
Do you think he knowingly did it, or he was under the influence of said aliens?
Well, we'll get back to that.
Okay.
Right? We'll get back
to that. I'm gonna throw it out there. I think he had an alien implant, and they manipulated him through the implant, and that's how they ended up where they're at.
Because we...
And it's Dwayne Barry.
We don't actually... We don't actually know what happened.
Is he talking in the third person?
I don't know.
If he does, he's definitely Dwayne Barry.
So, all right, where are we at? Yeah. So one of them jumps up into the back of the van, and Steve remembers, he's like, it was standing upright and it was still a few inches from the top of the van. So it wasn't very big. So then he's like, how did I see its head on the outside of the van? So he's like, are there even more out there? Is the thing he's thinking. So as he kind of gets himself back together, Steve, being the OG that he is, grabs mic stand.
Attaboy.
He's like, let's get it, right?
Attaboy.
You're coming in. You're getting it. And he says, if they're going to get hostile, I needed something to get hostile back with.
That's what I'm talking about.
And at that point, he realized he couldn't move.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
That sucks.
As he's sitting there, he's like,
even fair.
No, he's like, I can't swing. I can't do nothing. He's like, I grab the mic stand. I have a hold of it and I can't move. He's like, at that point, I got a voice in my brain. He said, whatever these things were, had telepathically informed me that my hostile thoughts came across as a threat to me and my crew, meaning the aliens, right? They were concerned for their safety, so they had to paralyze them, and they were sorry for that. Which has given you a lot of mixed signals here, right?
I'm actually terrified for him at this moment, because that puts you in a really fucked up situation.
Yeah.
In fact, like, oh God, that's, I don't know why that's so scary to me, but it is so scary to me.
They
read your thoughts. They processed that they were hostile. And then they have the, I want to say arrogance, but I know it's not arrogance, to freeze you and go, hey, what's out here, bud? These thoughts that you're having, they're kind of dangerous for me and my guys. So we're going to have to take some precautions here, okay?
That's the worst.
Selling that out there, all right?
It
low-key, I know I'm probably reading too much into it, but it low-key feels like a superiority threat. Like, listen, you're about to get fucked up here, okay?
This isn't going to go the way you think it's going to go.
Yes. Like that whole phrase that you guys have, catch these hands. Yeah, that's not how this works, right?
There are no hands.
Yeah. We already got you beat. So
he's in telepathic, not even conversation, because at that point, like, he's just like, okay, here we go. But he said that they sent him messages that they had no intention to harm the band members, and that their mission was one of peace. But they had some tests that they needed to run. They said they only had enough time and equipment to examine three members of the party.
Well, I'd be saying, take this motherfucker right here.
So they say, they ask him, will you come with us, please? Directing his attention at Steve. Steve noted this because he said that they had already chosen the hitchhiker. They had chosen, I believe it to be whoever the dude was that didn't have the girlfriend there. I guess the guitar player. So we're going to take the drummer, or no, they were going to take the hitchhiker, Steve, and whoever the other guy was, right? They chose not to take the girlfriend or the other band member. Anyway, so
Steve, I'd like to know that thought process too.
Steve fully did what anybody would do when these things are choosing. Like, he straight up just stared at the floor. Like, don't pick me. Don't pick me. Don't pick me. He said, but the anxiety built up so much that he brought his head up and he said, when you look into their eyes, that's when they are at their highest form of telepathic communication with you. He said the tension got so great I had no choice but to look at them, and that's when they ask, hey, will you go with us? So at that point, it's gonna be him, the bass player,
asking consent, even though like they're not giving him any consent.
Yeah, they're trying, like it's like gaslight manipulation, you know what I mean?
Dude, and like, I don't know why, but for whatever reason, the visuals that I'm having are so vivid and terrifying. Like, I'm literally creating this in my mind as we go, as I'm sure we all are, but like, it is so fucking terrifying.
Especially,
I'm sitting here almost, I'm scared for him. I'm not scared per se, but I'm acting as if I was in that situation, and it is so fucking scary.
And I had listened to his accounts and I had read like the transcripts. When I said the thing about the hitchhiker reaching over and unlocking the door just now, mm-hmm. it gave me goosebumps.
Yeah, so it's terrifying. Fucked. That's something out of a scary ass movie.
Yeah. So Steve finally agrees, right? And this alien that's in the van, he calls him the captain, turns around and goes to exit the van. As he does, his foot gets caught on the tripod of the snare drum.
The alien's foot?
Yes.
Fuck yeah.
He doesn't fall.
Oh.
But he knocks the drum out into the road. One of the other beings picks up the drum and sets it back in the van. They are super concerned that they have damaged this drum. They keep asking, is this yours? Is this yours? They're looking at Steve. Is this yours? So Steve's like, nah, it ain't mine. It's the drummer's, who's in the front seat, and points at him. He said, I can still see the look on the drummer's face from my hypnosis was like, why in the fuck would you do that? Why would you focus their attention on me?
It does suck.
So
he's crazy. He's like the most obvious guy is now the guy that, I mean, up to this point was the least paid attention to.
Yeah. He was just sitting there like, I'm good. It sucks to be in the back of the van right now. But he said at that point, the leader asked the drummer to come out for a second. He needed, I need you to inspect this, make sure it's not damaged. So the drummer's like, he gets out and looks at it. He's like, no, it's good. We're good. No, no harm, no foul. So Steve remembers as he's getting out, he grabbed a bag of recorders like you used to get in music class
mm-hmm.
to take with him. He's like, maybe I can either distract them or kind of create some kind of social interest between us, you know, try to negate anything negative that's going to happen, because he remembers the other people in the van. Like, why are you taking these recorders? You're going to put on a concert for them. And he's like, no, his thoughts were like, we can kind of create some kind of social interaction. That's not going to be, malevolent. Right. And that's when he hears in his brain, the leader's like, yeah, you can bring them.
No, he's like, sucks. That fucking sucks, dude.
Yeah.
Like, I don't, there's, like I said, there's something about this entire encounter so far that is just so downright terrifying. And I think it's because it's so, it's so casual/fictional. Because if you really sit, like, what the, okay, there's a fucking UFO in a parking lot of a restaurant. It feels like a fucked up movie.
Yeah.
Like everything that you're describing feels like a fucked up movie.
Dude, and I kept thinking about driving through South Dakota a couple weeks ago, being the only person on the interstate at 1 a.m. Like, that's an eerie feeling anyway. Right, you know how many empty ass like places I drove by, restaurants and shit? I'm like, it could be the only one for 15 miles. Like, if there was a UFO there, there ain't anybody that's going to back me on it.
Right.
So at this point, the leader is like, well, we only have the room and time or the room and equipment to do three. He's like, but we're going to take you, drummer. We're going to take you too. So it's going to be Steve, bass player, hitchhiker, drummer. This drummer's like, you son of a bitch.
Oh, dude, I'd be mad as fuck too.
You son of a bitch. So he said we had very specific instructions that they gave us before they took us into this craft. He said the door opened and there were stairs that led up into the craft. He said, the leader said, I'm going to be in front. One of my guys is going to be in the back. He said, the four of you are going to line up in between us. And they said, you are only going to stare at the back of the person in front of you's head. That's the only way this is going to work. Right? So they line up. They start moving forward. And Steve's like, well, he told me not to look, not to turn my head. So I immediately turned my head to the right and we stopped like that. He's like, as soon as I look back at so-and-so's head, he's like, we move forward again. And he's like, all right. So just to make sure, he's like, I look the opposite direction and we stopped. And he's like, all right, that's, I get it now. And he said, the second time we stopped, the leader said, whatever you do, do not touch the hull of the ship. So just keep your hands to your side and we'll move in.
That's interesting because of Travis Walton.
Yeah. Yep. And he said, as they approached the steps, he's like, it wasn't like we climbed the stairs. He said it was like we hovered. He's like, the whole line of us kind of tilted and hovered directly in to the craft. He's like, but as I was moving in, he's like, I put my hand out with my ring finger and I touched the side of the craft. He said, I remember as we were moving to it, it looked like aluminum. And he's like, I thought it felt like aluminum. And he said, as we got close to it, granted, I couldn't turn my head except for those two times. He said, it almost looked like it had been spot welded. Right. Mm-hmm. He's like, so I touched it. As the drummer was coming in, kind of getting floated in, he hit his head on the roof of the craft. He was too tall to get in. Right. So he's like, just as these beings were with everything else, they were super concerned as to what happened to him. They kept asking him, are you fine? Are you fine? Do you want us to check it out? And the drummer's like, no, I'm good. Just leave me the fuck alone. Let's get this over with, right?
All air back. Let's get me out of here.
Yeah.
The whole time you were talking about him lining up, I was waiting for one. I just wanted it to be the I'm fast as fuck boy.
So as they enter the craft, they remember seeing like three sets of chrome cots on wheels. But he said they immediately separated all of us. He said they immediately got us into different rooms. So we weren't together. And they, as they were separated, they started to ask them to undress themselves. So Steve's like, oh, this is not going to be good. So Steve's
sussy.
Yeah. Steve gets down to his skivvies and he's like, is it okay to leave my underwear on? And the alien was like kind of confused as to what underwear were. So Steve showed him. He's like, my last set of garments here. And they're like, yeah, it's good. Like this should be fine. So at this point, another one of the members on the craft came over and took his clothes and the bag of recorders that he was carrying. This kind of worried Steve, like now what's happening? Anything that I had to even make any kind of social interaction, you know, my clothes to get the hell out of here is all gone. When he got a telepathic message, don't worry. I'm just going to put them over here until we're finished. Hey, Holocult. If you've been around a minute, you've heard us talk about Mood, an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your front door. Mood's found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flour for whatever type of buzz you want. If you are new here, I'm talking about Mood.com. Mood has an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you can get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo HOLO. Forget the one-size-fits-all supplement that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood that you're looking for. Are you having trouble sleeping? Try the Sleepy Time Advance gummies for a mind-soothing calm each night. You need an extra boost of energy, some mental focus? Try the Morning Delta 9 gummies. If you're having trouble concentrating, you need some deep focus and enhanced creativity? Try the Mind Magic gummies. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flour, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. You can find gummies to just get you high pretty much anywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood in usually as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your front door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned before, Hollow Sky listeners gets 20% off their first order with code HOLO. So head over to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use our promo code HOLO when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at Mood.com. And that's promo code H O L-O.
I used to just go with whatever meat looked good or was on sale at the grocery store. But now that I've experienced the exceptional quality, flavor, and convenience that you can get from Omaha Steaks, I'm never going back. They can build a custom food plan based on your schedule, which means less food waste and stocking up on high-quality proteins to always have on hand. With Omaha Steaks in your freezer, you're always just minutes away from a quality dinner, whether it's Taco Tuesday or a weekend feast. Taste the Omaha Steaks difference and never settle for grocery proteins again. Get flavorful, high-quality proteins delivered by visiting omahasteaks.com, plus $35 off when you use promo code YUM at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com, code YUM. Terms apply. See site for details. Go to omahasteaks.com and use promo code YUM at checkout for $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply.
At the same time, he could see the other three guys also undressing in their respective rooms. He said, I remember that the hitchhiker, when he took his pants off, had a pair of long johns on. And our drummer was just kind of joking about this guy wearing long johns. He's like, this stood out to me because we kind of chuckled as well. And in like this weird sense of rapport, the aliens were also kind of sharing the humor of the situation, which is confusing because they didn't know what underwear were, but they are kind of in on this like weird joke. Like the humans are laughing. Let's laugh with them. Like almost to make everybody feel better about what the fuck's going on.
But also, it also would suggest that their consciousness is all connected at this moment.
Everybody, you're like a hive mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's and it's also weird because what I've been looking into, there are reports of after abductions, people have the ability to mental metal bend, like the bending of the spirit with your mind. And then one of the questions I pose is, what if whenever this telepathic communication happens, it opens some door in our brain that we're completely unaware of?
Oh, yeah.
And that's what is able to manifest these types of situations because that door is open.
Yeah. Because I know, who is it that does the bends of spoons? Uri Geller?
I don't know. That sounds right.
I think Greg and Dana Newkirk had them on their Patreon, and he did a session for people to bend spoons, if I'm not mistaken. But I don't know. Anyway. So, Steve remembers not feeling like malevolently.
Also, real quick, this does feel like one of them. It's just because of the way it's being narrated, I'm sure. But this does also feel like one of them Max Spears, these aren't really alien situations.
Yeah.
Because, like, think about that. The fact that they come over and they're like, here, I'm going to take your clothes and I'm going to set. Like, that feels like a doctor-y type situation.
Yeah. Very. A being from another realm, like they wouldn't give a shit.
Yeah. And even with the underwear thing, it sounds like something a doctor would say. It'd be like, no, you're fine. Just leave them on. You know, it's whatever. Like, you're good. You're good.
That's creepy too.
Yeah. It's weird.
It's worse.
The whole thing's weird.
Steve did mention that in his hypnosis, he never felt any kind of like malevolent pressure to do things. Like, if you don't do this, bad things will happen. He said he just felt this weird, underlying, unexplainable need to just cooperate with whatever these things said. They'd ask him, he would do it.
That's kind of like a day rape drug.
Yeah. Manipulation.
They weren't mean or anything, but I just felt so compelled to do it. Like,
yeah.
Kind of like being day raped, dude.
At this point, another entity wheels over this little cart toward him that had a tray of instruments on top wrapped in a towel. So as they unwrapped it, he said he saw a whole bunch of weird instruments. They almost look like dental instruments. And there were little pin lights and picks and all kinds of weird shit. Then the one who's doing the examination, for lack of a better term, picks up this black instrument, he said, that looks like the handheld piece to a rotary phone. So that's the thing that I can compare it to. Telepathically, the alien said, I'm going to show you how this thing works, and then I want to try it on you. Steve immediately thinks, well, is this going to hurt me? And the alien's like, no. So with that, the alien took this phone, which was emitting a form of light, and held it up to his suit. And as he did, it shone completely through the suit and showed the skin of whatever this alien was. So it's almost like some sort of weird X-ray.
I'm sorry, but the second that motherfucker says, hey, I want to try this on you, that's when my brain goes, what the fuck do you mean try?
Yeah.
Like, you kind of make it sound like you've never done this before. And although that, even if you have, it still makes it terrifying, but it makes it even more terrifying that you don't know what the fuck you're doing.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're like, here, look, it's fine. It's fine.
That's such an uncomfortable thought. Like, it makes you feel like some type of American psycho or psycho situation. They're just like, yay, we're going to try new shit.
Yeah, we're going to see what happens.
Yeah, we're just going to play it out.
So in Steve's brain, it's like this X-ray vision. He's like, all right, it just shines through their clothes. But he said when he held it up to my arm, he said it became invisible too. He said, I was able to see my muscles. I was able to see my arteries and my veins. He said, I saw them contracting when I moved my hand. He was like, it was like a mobile X-ray machine.
That's kind of cool.
He said, when my heart beat, I watched it pump through the veins. He's like, it was pretty crazy. So at this point, I was told to lay down on the cot where they wheeled me into this secondary room. He said this room had this massive light above it, like a large screen above my head. He said they telepathically told me to look at this light. He said I tried, but something inside me kept pulling me away, saying, do not look at this. Do not look at this. He said eventually I gave into it. And he said it was the only thing that I can remember is it like had this pulsating concentric circles of light. He said it was almost like hypnosis. He said the more I looked at it, the more tired I got. And he said this leader kept trying to push me to look at it more. They just said, look at it. There's something I want you to see in there. Keep looking. There's something you need to see. He said he fell into this state of hypnosis. And he said at that point, my memory completely lapsed. This is the point to where I don't know if the regression wouldn't even pull it out, because this is memory loss inside the regression at this point. Whatever happened after he looked into this light is fuzzy at best. They did, in one of his regressions, they did pull out a little bit in a technique that Aphrodite Clamor was using. He said that he remembers 5 to 6 aliens being bringing over a machine after he looked at this light. He said it had a bunch of like almost robotic arms to it that covered over where he was laying. He said the machine had hoses, probes, and light on the end of like this stick, this probesis, as to where he was laying. He said he remembers them checking his fingers, his ears, and inside his mouth, taking skin and hair samples that were put into what he thought were plastic bags and sealed off. After that, he said the only thing that they got out of him was that they checked every part of me, is what the regression said. In his interview, he did not talk about it. He said once he looked into the light, he did not remember.
I'll almost bet that light is like their form of anesthesia.
Oh yeah.
Cause it makes me feel like either they took like a surgery approach. Like they put him under because one of two reasons: it was going to hurt and they knew it was going to hurt, or like witnessing that has some form of psychological damage for us.
Yeah.
It makes more sense that it would hurt than the psychological part, but I mean, it's kind of fucked up regardless which way, you know, but it feels like a form of anesthesia. It's, I also want to know what inside him, what was trying to make him pull away and fight that.
That's the scary part.
What? Yeah. Because like, Is it something with inside him that is recalling past? Or is it the possibility that the hive mind is still active and maybe the hitchhiker or somebody else in there has been through this before and they're like subconsciously being like, hey, don't look at this fucking thing. Do not go into the light.
Yeah.
Fucked up stuff is getting ready to happen. Stop with the light. Don't do the light.
Yep. I also think like that they're using this to, if they're going to do some sort of experiment that they don't want him to recall, like i.e. putting a chip in or something, they could use this too to kind of block it out. But also the idea that maybe there's something deep ingrained into all of our psyches that when we get into a scenario like this, like he describes the light, but like if we were to see it, would we have the same effect? Is there something in there? It's like, do not look at this. What comes after this light is gonna be fucking bad.
Yeah. To the point, I mean, and like, I hate to be ultra negative, but I do agree that like whatever is after that, whatever happened after the light sucked.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't cool. Because everything seemed kind of kosher. Kind of, you know, aside from being kidnapped and all that jazz. Yeah. But none of it was that bad. It's all like, well, you know, whatever.
Especially considering
whatever reason, like he won't, whether he refuses to talk about or the fact that they have the ability to almost inception it and bury shit inside of shit inside of shit.
Yes.
Is it just goes to show that there is a type of malevolence there, because you know what you're doing is fucked.
Yep. Especially considering he remembered so many very fine details about so much of the abduction until the light happened.
Yeah.
The light.
And they're cool with it.
Yes.
Because they could have done the memory eraser light right from the get go.
Yep. Yep. It's fucked up. Steve said the next thing that he remembers is being wheeled over to where his clothes were. He hopped up off the cot and they told him to get dressed. That point, all four of them were reunited and kind of standing there. And the aliens asked them, do you have any questions that you wish to ask us? So they're moving down the line. They give them each questions. And a lot of people ask, one of the person asked, are you from outer space? They responded with yes. Other questions were pretty typical. They said, do you have bases on Earth? They said, yes, we have many bases here, some underwater, some in desolate areas where few people go, and we have one here. And they pointed at the porthole that was facing Lake Ontario. Essentially, you know, there's a base underwater out here. During this,
I was hoping you meant the Waffle House.
Also at the Waffle House. So this whole experience kind of led Steve to believe that they were very intellectually and socially superior to us. He said, at some point, I even almost was viewing them as like angelic, that they were so superior, which could have a lot to do with whatever they're doing to him mentally. That's making him like I call it intergalactic, you know, extraterrestrial gaslighting. They're making him view them in a light that's so much more positive and so much more beyond what we are considered, that he literally says, I thought they were angels at some point. Like, they were super highly developed.
And let's also point out the obvious here. I was thinking about it from the beginning. I didn't really say much about it until now, but I do agree. They are probably far more intellectually capable than you and I. However, everybody take out your little books and note to self. Car door locks trump alien.
Yeah, they can't get that figured out.
See?
Until they possess somebody inside the car to unlock them.
Right. Then you're up shit creek. Yeah. However,
three things you can do. Name of Jesus.
Yes.
Blankets over your head.
Yeah, also true.
Car door lock.
Yep. Get in your car and lock the doors. They can't figure that shit out.
That's it.
And best case scenario, sit in the front seat, white knuckle the steering wheel, and stare ahead. Don't look at
it. Yeah, they didn't fuck with that dude. He's fine. Yeah,
until his buddy sold him out.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a bitch move.
That definitely is not advisable.
So upon kind of viewing them as being higher beings, being like angelic, for lack of a better term, Steve's question to them was, what is the true religion on Earth?
That's deep.
Yeah, he said they looked like perplexed, like shocked that he would ask that. And they actually asked, why would you ask a question like that? And Steve's like, well, because clearly you're more advanced than us, you would know. And the being asked him, are you part of a religion now? And Steve says, yes. And then immediately they responded, there is no correct religion on Earth, and shut down all the other questions. Like, we're done.
Oh, that's fucking not suspect.
Yeah, we're done here. There's that no is, correct religion on
bizarre.
Earth.
Bizarre.
Shut her down.
Why?
I don't know.
Aside from them being afraid of something.
So that came across as sus to Steve, and he was like, hold up. He's like, you can't just leave me hanging there. Like, elaborate for me. And they responded, no, we've told you too much already. Yep.
That gives me goosebumps.
Yep.
Because the implicate, like, you don't just be kosher with whatever questions. You open the floor for a little Q&A after a lot of fuckery. And then one particular, like, that just shows they're afraid of something. Whatever it is, they're afraid of something.
That's a note they didn't want to touch on.
Yeah. And which, I mean, there's no other explanation other than the fact that they're afraid of something. Because why would they so strongly advert from that and just shut it down?
Yeah. He said that he was still like trying to telepathically ask them questions. He said, because there was a lot of chatter in whatever this telepathic hive mind was going on. So he was kind of eavesdropping what they were saying as well. And he said that he kept hearing them refer back to that they were willing to direct us, but they were not going to interfere with our decision making, such as what religion to be pushed toward. So that's
confusing.
Yeah, that's kind of the context that he took it. Like, they didn't want to send him one way or another as far as religion goes, which that opens so many other questions. Like, of all the things
that also, like, in that statement, for what it is, and I could be kind of reading too much into it, but it almost would make it sound like they are part of an organization.
Which, I mean, could lead back to the Max Spears kind of.
You know what I mean? Because to make that statement of, like, we don't want to push you toward anything kind of makes me feel like they're in affiliation with something.
And it almost feels super, like, super vague. Like we just don't want to, like it's a blanket statement as to why we just said what we said. You know what I mean? Like, we said there's no true religion on Earth, but we only said that because we just don't want to push you in a direction.
And why would it matter?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's another one of them things where, to them, why would it matter what that individual believes or disbelieves?
I think it all boils down to the manipulation aspect of it.
There's definitely something to that.
Yeah. Yeah. It is weird. Because, like, the whole time he's describing this, I encourage you all to go and watch his interviews, because the way he talks about it, he has a light in his eyes and a light in his face. Like whatever these things were, like, he was all about them, like, light and love. It reminds me of Chris Bledsoe talking about his encounters. Like, it is bizarre to me.
Like, I'm kosher up until the light thing. Then it gets a little bit of crossing the line.
Yeah, like, what? Why? If it's this bad that you are going to just erase it from my psyche, why do it?
Yeah, and, like, your overall attitude for the most part is just chill.
Yeah, especially, like, asking permission. But when it comes to the light, they manipulated him to look at it. There's something in there I want you to see. I want you to see this. Look at this.
Yeah.
Not please. Not will you look at the light? No, you're looking at it, and I'm going to coax you to look at it.
Yeah.
When every fiber of your being says, do not do this, what is going to happen after this happens is horrific. They're like, nah, just take a look in there.
Yeah.
Take a look in there and see the true religion. in the form of a probe.
Like, I am now interested in maybe buying this book for myself, because I am extremely perplexed by a lot of this story. There's so much that just doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
This is unlike any encounter that I've kind of stumbled across.
Even if you're just hanging out, put on one of his interviews in the background where he talks about his other abductions. And it's a crazy, he has had a lot of crazy stuff go on. But at this point, they're getting, everything's done. They're all dressed. They're getting ready to exit the craft, right? The three band members are escorted to the door. The bass player's sent out. The drummer was sent out, and they're kind of talking to each other and like smiling and just acting like nothing happened. That what happened. Steve was the last one to leave, and he started talking to as they came down. He said, "I noted that we did walk down the steps." He said, "After everything was done, we were at our full on volition. We exited the craft on our own, whereas beforehand, we were pulled into the craft. So what's done is done."
So it's like it was almost like they,
you were going whether you wanted to or not.
Yeah, there was this illusion of having a choice.
Yeah. He says, so we get back down to the van, and he sees the what he called the leader alien standing at the doorway. And then he felt himself going into this trance-like state again. But at the same time, he said he was overwhelmed by a feeling of kinship, sadness, and love, all of which emanated from these beings. And it was to the point, like, it was so overwhelming to him that he started to cry. Right? So it's almost like emotional manipulation overload. Like, what just happened to you is going to be super traumatic. But if I love bomb you here at the end, you're going to think what happens to you is good. He said he also had a sense of hope and a sense of purpose, that he was crucial to whatever the work that these beings were doing, that they specifically needed him. He was also said that he got another telepathic message that told him that he had a special mission to help in their work. And they would become a beacon of light to people around him, helping people appreciate that aliens are real and that he had important work to do. That sounds a lot like the same message that they gave Mr. Bledsoe.
Yeah, and it almost in my scientist episode as well.
Yeah. Yeah. It's almost like take their mind off of everything traumatic that just happened.
It does feel like there's a lot of emotional manipulation going on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that, like, if you, like, we've talked about it before, one of the things that make us who we are is our emotion, because these things don't have emotion like we do. And if they're legitimately that intelligent, well, it wouldn't be that hard to manipulate our brains into feeling certain ways.
Oh, and we are 100% the most emotional driven being on the planet, probably in the goddamn universe.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause there isn't, like, it's not hard to get a sense of camaraderie or love, because we can listen to a song and feel all those things.
Yeah.
We can watch a 30-second clip and feel those things. You know what I mean? So it's not hard to manipulate us in that aspect. It's extra, extra malicious to manipulate us in that way, in my opinion.
Oh, 100%. It's our biggest. I feel like human emotion is our greatest. Like, it's what specifically makes us human, but it is our biggest downfall too.
Oh, it's the biggest chink in the armor for sure.
Yeah, and they're advanced enough to just focus in on that, you know.
Yeah, and like you said, it is one of the it's a big chink, but it's also like a huge plus, the fact that we can feel these ways because it keeps us from doing a lot of fucked up stuff.
Yep, it makes us human.
Yeah, absolutely. And the fact that they would meddle around in that is fucking disturbing to me.
Yeah, it is top tier manipulation.
Imagine having the most ruthless shit done to you, and then they have the ability to just make you love them.
Yeah, it's
fucked.
It's Stockholm syndrome.
Exactly.
Interdimensional Stockholm syndrome.
Yeah.
So at this point, the alien takes Steve out of his trance after telling him like he's a big important part to this. Everything you did has helped us out, you know, yada yada yada. The alien said to Steve, there was something you wanted to show us, right? And that immediately made Steve remember his recorders. So he takes out the bag and the recorders, and the alien takes one of them and he asks him, what are these? Steve's like, well, they're musical instruments. We play them for entertainment. And they're like, well, how do you use them? And Steve's like, you blow air into them. And it was apparent to Steve that the alien didn't know what the fuck was really going on. So he took one out of the bag and he put it up to his lips and he played it, showing him how to do it. So the alien seemed like somewhat interested and impressed as to what was doing. So seeing this, Steve took back the main recorder, handed in this little soprano one. And as he gave it to him, he's like, this is a souvenir for you. And the alien's like, what's a souvenir? He's like, well, it's a gift to remember me by. And the alien's like, that'll be fine. So Steve held it out for the alien to take. And at the same time, the alien put his hand on the recorder to take it. That's when Steve looked down and saw that they had three very distinct fingers on one hand. They didn't have five-fingered hands. They had three, which is weird because in all the alien mummy shit that just went on, they had three-fingered hands.
Didn't by chance see the toes, did he?
Not that I remember. Not that I remember. Oh, but I did just remember something that I didn't write down, but because I was going to talk about it. So hold that. They're holding their recorder, right? Circle back to the abduction before Steve got put under the light. He said he needed something from the craft that he could bring back as proof. Okay. So he said, I reached down under the table I was sitting on. And he said, I felt like a little, he said, it wasn't like a wing nut that I was used to, but I figured that that's what it was. He's like, so I took it off of whatever it was connected to. And he said, I had it in my hand. And he said, when the one that pushed over the, table with the instruments on it, he said he already knew. He asked, what do you have in your hand? And he's like, I showed him. They asked me what I was doing with it. He's like, I wanted something to take with me to remember this by. And the captain's like, no, you cannot take that. And the little dude pushing the cart was like trying to argue with him, like, what's it gonna hurt? Let him take it. And the captain's like, you don't understand. He cannot take anything off of this ship. Anyway, I was gonna add that in there, but I forgot. Circling back to the recorder, he sees the hand. And he's like, I thought in my head, maybe I shouldn't let them take this. And the alien picked up on it and said, do you want it back? You can have it. And Steve's like, no. He's like, no, this is yours. And he says, I remember as I was showing them how to work it, he said this alien took the recorder and instead of putting it to his lips, because he when he described the aliens, he said they had like no, just holes for ears and a tiny little slotted mouth, like almost an unusable mouth. He's like, they put the recorder to their nose and blew it and made sound out, like a comical kind of thing, right? Almost so comical that like it would be something to break the tension, like something not even real.
Yeah.
So the alien takes the recorder. At this point, they're like, do you want one of our crew members to walk you back to your van? Steve's like, no, like they're being super nice again after all this shit. He's like, no, I'm good. He said, I remember the wind blowing in my face. He said, he remembers like he could feel the tears that he was crying from this overwhelming love bomb at the end. So getting into the van, he found everyone sitting there like zombies, right? As he's doing a head count, they're one man short. Guess who's gone?
Fucking Dwayne Barry.
Dwayne Barry is gone.
Dwayne Barry is a fucking plant.
So that's immediately what he thought. Like this dude had to be part of the whole phenomenon, right? At that point, after they did the head count, they said the ship took off like a bat out of hell, just out of there. So they were talking to themselves as they're driving back home. The drummer's like, we cannot talk about this. We can't report it. Everyone's going to think we're crazy and no one's going to believe us. Said, I don't want to get ridiculed. The guitarist agreed. And Steve's like, no, we should report it. They're like, if you, then they're arguing with him. Like, if you report it, we're going to deny that it happened. So Steve's just stuck by himself.
Oh, that's shitty.
Yeah. So Steve had no other choice to kind of go along with their decision. So he kept thinking in his brain, I have to remember this. I have to remember this. As soon as I get home, I'm going to write it down. Have to remember it. He's at this point in my brain, I start getting telepathic messages. You're going to forget. You're going to forget. You're going to forget. He's like, I was arguing with whatever was telling me this command in my head. He's like, I just remember thinking, just keep fighting it. I want to remember. I want to remember. They get a few miles down the road and Steve asks the guitar player and the drummer again, should we report this? They both look at him and he said the most sincerest that they had ever been to me. And they say, report what? They had already forgotten what had happened at that point, just a few miles down the road. So once they get home, he's again trying to remind himself, I need to write this all down tomorrow. And he said, before I could pick up my notepad, I fell asleep. And he said, I forgot everything until I read the Bud Hopkins Missing Time book when it started to open cracks in my memory. And again, as I had mentioned before, as he went under these hypnosis proceedings, his memory unlocked other abductions, which involved his father. A lot of the abductions came back pretty much with as much information as this one did. Three encounters he remembered absolutely completely, and three others he just barely got very much information from. So it almost makes you wonder what happened on those three that he can't really remember. Oh, what else do I got here? So after his New York hypnosis session, he started to work with UFO investigation groups and all sorts of stuff. He's been on speaking rounds talking about his abductions. He's been on the podcast scene. He's been on YouTube. Like, you can find him pretty much anywhere. He talked a lot about the breathing through the nose, right? And well, he remembered this autopsy that he came across about an alien autopsy, the information from it. The autopsy stated that these beings, now this is going to sound familiar, have no digestive tract, which we were talking about in the scientist one. We're like it's a pointless thing.
Yep.
He said their mouth stopped at their throat and they have one organ that acts as the heart, lungs, and liver. Hence why they can only breathe through their nose. It's almost more streamlined, right? So that's kind of where I end it. But after Steve goes on these speaking routes, a man comes forward and says, I'm the hitchhiker. Contact Steve. I'm the hitchhiker. I was the other guy in the van that night. And he said, so Steve believes him, which I feel like it's somebody kind of latching onto Steve's story. But he said he recalled things about the night that essentially nobody else would know about. He said he talked about the guitar player and the girlfriend arguing and just a bunch of stuff. So finally, Steve's like, well, to try to like confirm that it was him. So were you wearing long johns that night? And he's like, yeah. So in Steve's mind, like that confirmed that this was the dude. The dude had a 50-50 shot. If somebody's going to ask me that, yeah, there's a reason somebody's asking me that.
Yeah.
Anyway, he gave this whole spiel about what happened. He said the aliens took him because he was like low-key hitting on the dude's girlfriend and it was causing some drama that the aliens didn't want to deal with, and they ended up dropping him off at home. Like, it was a whole spiel. Steve goes into it in one of his interviews and it feels like he bought this dude's story. But he also says, like, I tried to Facebook friend him and he wouldn't accept my requests and all this shit. Like, sus, right? Sus.
Yeah.
Feels way more to me like old boy was a plant, phenomena plant, than it is some just drunk dude that couldn't find a ride home.
I'm with that. There is a level of sabotage there And I can't say at this point, I can't sit here and honestly say that it's not true that the aliens took him to soften a domestic abuse situation there. Because it sounds like dude was probably going to get his ass kicked in the future for hitting on dude's girl. But it just brings me back to the Max Spears thing where he talks about how most alien abductions are not made by aliens because there's so much in this that is so human. It's unreal.
Yeah.
Absolutely unreal. The leveling, even though there are aspects of it that are not human, you know, not understanding certain things. And I don't know. It is just, it is one of the more bizarre stories I think I've heard when it comes to UFO abductions.
It was weird.
A lot of them fit a pretty tight narrative. A lot. I mean, there are variables, but a lot of them are pretty similar. This one is similar, but it has its own quirks where you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Why would that happen?
Yeah. And the reason I picked it is because like it's sold as a group abduction, but it really just focuses on Steve since he's the one that recounts it. So once I got into it, I'm like, man, this is pretty wild. Pretty wild. But again, like I said, there's well more to the story than just this abduction. So I encourage everybody. The name of the book is Beyond the Extraterrestrial Firewall: An Experiencer's Point of View by Stephen Boucher. Also go to YouTube, just search up Stephen Boucher abductions, even Google it. There's tons of podcasts, live interviews. If you're interested in his story, and like I said, there's multiple other abductions that he gets into, but this was the main one that I wanted to go into.
It would be interesting to talk to him.
And just take 10 minutes and watch one of those interviews. When you see him talk about these beings, he lights up the same way Chris Bledsoe does.
So weird.
Like he's excited to talk about it. On one I watched, he even had the big recorder that he didn't send with him, but the one that the alien touched, he's like, this is the actual recorder that the leader had in his hand when I had it in my hand. And he was just playing on it. Like it's the coolest thing that ever happened.
The other thing that was weird about the story is when they were taking skin samples and they put them in plastic bags.
Yeah. That feels very,
that's weird.
Very, I mean, and it could be that what he attributed it to is a plastic bag.
Oh, of course. Yeah, absolutely.
Like that's, I don't know. It seems primitive for such advanced.
Yes. The fact that he may or may not have noticed spot welds on it.
Yeah, that's another thing I thought. Oh, I'm glad you brought that up because he did say in one of his interviews that when he touched it with his ring finger, he said within a week, he said he had the worst like plantar seed wart grow on that finger. He said it took forever for it to go away. He said, I put freeze off on it. I did all kinds of things after that. He's like, because I don't remember the encounter, but I remember this big, painful wart coming up on my ring finger. He's like, I tried everything to get it off there. He said, so let that be a lesson. He said, if anybody gets abducted and they tell you not to touch the outside of their ship, don't touch it.
That's weird.
Yeah. So it was an interesting encounter. Again, I encourage you to check the book out, listen to his interviews. Maybe we can even get him on the show to talk to him about it because it's an interesting one. It is an interesting one. So that's that for this week. Holocult, thank you all for hanging out with us again. We appreciate you all so much. Until next time, check us out all our social medias, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, TikTok, Discord, Reddit. Search up the Holosky Podcast. Join the Holocult. Till we meet again, stay safe, stay weird. And when they tell you to look at the light, don't look at the light.